Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Employment Committee meeting. I would like to welcome our host, Diane Scalzi. Diane, thank you for hosting for us today. Barbara, go ahead and start the party.
Good morning. The Employment Committee welcomes you to our program this morning. I'd like to introduce our speaker for the morning. His name is Jose Morales, and he lives in Jacksonville. He works for the Center for Independent Living, graduate of the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind, and a graduate of the University of North Florida in Jacksonville. He's presently the ADA administrator for the Center for Independent Living and also the chair of the Mayor's Disability Council. Jose wears many, many hats, and he's received several recognition statewide, and he's representing four regions. So therefore, I would like Jose to tell us more about his employment and the things that he does at the SEAL and the type of visual impaired people that they employ. So Jose, would you please introduce yourself and give us further details?
Like what Ms. Barbara was saying, I work at the Centers for Independent in Jacksonville, and there's about eight centers, twelve centers around the state of Florida. And I think each of them does do some version of employment. What makes us a little unique being centers and with the employment lens and the employment world is that our philosophy, mission, our board, everything is set where 51% of our employees have to have a disability. And same thing with our board. And that makes it, that kind of, in participating and networking things like the mayor's, do you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Participating at the Mayor's Disability Council and networking, I heard about an opportunity here, and then I started working here. And now there's me and two other people who are either low vision or blind who work at the center. And we're trying to grow that even more. Technically, what I think makes this experience unique is that through the employment department, we're able to interact with other businesses and try to come up with, you know, innovative ways or new or just try to. I think a lot of times it's people not knowing the capabilities of different disabilities, including, low vision or blind. And that's why I think sometimes there's not there's not a lot of, folks with low vision or blind working at a lot of places in our community here in Northeast Florida, for example. Because ever since we started working, we have a really great connection with a hospital here called Memorial. And at the beginning, they would hire people from, people that would come to the agency with different disability types. But we noticed that, none of our blind applicants would get hired. So what we did was we do something called sensitivity trainings, where we go out to businesses or to agencies or locations, and we kind of do a training of the best practices with each disability type. And when covering low vision or blind, it was just honestly a lack of communication and a lack of them not understanding that people who were low vision or blind, and then when I say they, I'm talking about the management at the time at this hospital, not understanding that the same jobs they were offering for other disability types, they could easily offer it to low vision or blind people because the candidates themselves had the same qualities and the same abilities to do the job. So that was one example, for example, how we go out in the community from a cross disability perspective and bring employers and partners to really identify with each disability type, in this case low vision or blind, and really identify that there's really the barriers sometimes are unconscious. What my job gives me the opportunity to do is be able to show by example. When I do a presentation, for example, at this employment sites, they were like, well, If he does this, obviously, anybody they refer to us or anybody coming from the Vision of Blind Services or any other source is going to have all of the skills to really work in our office space. And that's a great opportunity I really honor, and I try to really do my best at because of that. So, and then here at the center, honestly, like I said, is that it is a cross disability mindset, but I think in when I got here, this is a disability agency. We're cross disability, but there's also that perception and that culture for some reason that people have about low vision or blind individuals that is completely wrong and misguided. And I think that my role and also the role of all of us as advocates is really to change that culture and to make and to do it through action, but also to be able to promote when those things happen. So when we get people who are fully employed and are fully participants of the community and are active and engaged in their community, we need to figure out a way to promote that, to showcase that, so that perception and the glance that people have of our community is, you know, of all our capabilities, not of all this BS perceptions that they create, you know, without really even meeting a blind person ever before. So, or in the past. The Center for Independence, besides being a cross disability agency, so when you walk in here, you're going to meet somebody who's a wheelchair user, somebody who's deaf, somebody with low vision or blind, somebody with, you know, doing peer mentoring with mental health, somebody with a condition of autism. You're just going to see all types of people. So it's not just going to be one subgroup. And that sometimes makes it a little challenging to, let's say, mingle or relate. But at the same time, it also makes it easier for the advocacy approach. It makes people really listen, because now you have not just blind people advocating for a particular thing, but a whole group of people with disabilities saying, we all need curb cuts, we all need sidewalks, we all need lights and beakers that speak, we all need accessibility. So that's the bottom line behind it. So I'm not sure if you want me to continue on with the actual presentation of the employment side, or if you want to ask me questions, or if you just want to interact with me, but I'm for sure here to like do either. So kind of let me know how to proceed with that.
Jose, if there are no questions from the audience, then we'll just let you proceed with the program.
Okay, perfect. So with Centers for Independence, when I got employed here, I also had to deal with my transportation. I lived really far. I lived in Clay County in this job site. Before COVID, it was all in person, and it was in Duval County. So transportation was a huge barrier. So like when we have an approach of dealing with employment, we sit the center's perspective is, let's look at the whole approach. Like, let's look at your transportation, your housing, because if any of those things are not set, your employment is not going to be successful. So you need to be at least have some type of address that people, you know, that your employer or that you can have to start employment. You need to have some type of plan for transportation. Obviously that can that can change, because, you know, we don't drive, and sometimes depending on transportation authorities, it's really difficult, but it has to be part of your plan. Again, with us, before you go to an interview, even when I came to center, to SIL, I didn't start in my role as ADA manager. I started as a information referral coordinator. And what I, through my interview process, what I really, really liked and also learned from that I'm going to use from now, obviously in this position to the future, is that preparation is the key to everything. And that's why resumes, for example, are the best way to guide you and guide your employer on your preparedness, on your readiness, on your achievements, on what you're bringing to the table. Especially because sometimes if we go to a job fair or if we're meeting somebody in public, I don't know about you, but when I meet somebody in public, sometimes it's not the best interaction in the first 30 seconds. So in the presentation space, I think that the resume and also the networking that you're able to do beforehand, you know, who you know from that company, who can you ask questions so that your preparation is what makes a difference. It's what made a difference with my experience so far, whether it's here or in other opportunities that I've had. And it's what I think differentiates candidates, especially with disabilities. So when we talk about preparation, we're talking about resume. So your resume has to be on point. We're talking about knowing your company, knowing things about your company that you're applying for, that you want to work for, that other candidates may not bring up, right? So little facts that you can remember and use little memory cues to really say, wow, that person's really on. That person really wants to work here because they're really have our mission or and our core and our values as a company already. You know, sometimes you go to a job site and most employees don't know their mission. Most employees don't know the company's core values. Most employees don't know a lot of their, you know, community efforts that the company is doing. If you know that from the head, you're not just going to be beating your candidate, all the candidates that are competing with you for that position, but you're also going to make a great impression because you're going to know more than a lot of the employees that work there. So that's one key step thing. Another thing is you want to be ready for questions. So for example, at Center, at SIL, before we send somebody to a job interview or we help them with a job interview, we sit down and we do practice runs of job interviews. And that's a great way to identifying how you going, identifying because, how you going to react to certain things, right? So if somebody tell me about your weaknesses. So for example, my weakness may be that, you know, I sometimes may be in a meeting and some presentations are not accessible and I may miss some information out in public, right? But to turn that into a strength would be, I always have, I'm always taking notes. I'm always recording when possible. And I'm always detailed because I have all that recorded and I can go back to any information in the past I have. So you just have to figure ways to, and when they throw a bone at you like that, where they're, trying to get you off your game, you have those weaknesses that you can, you know, show them as strengths. Working here, besides working with other companies and stuff, I'm also able to and have the opportunity with Ms. Barbara here in Jacksonville to be in the Mayor's Disability Council. And what that does is really, again, getting at the component and the piece of promoting and engaging employers to hire people with disabilities. And when we do events, so we have one coming in October where it's going to be a job shadowing or mentee day, is what we're going to call it, where we do employer awards. So like if an employer is openly hiring people with disabilities, when they're doing best practices, when they're trying to create plans to recruit people with disabilities, so when they do all those things, we want to make sure that, and Ms. Barbara and I work on that all the time, on making sure that the community knows that all the partners of different disability agencies are on board, so they also provide recognition to that employer. So that's another great avenue that we do from the center's perspective, again, being cross-disability, again, being from the independent living movement model. We are the essence of the independent living movement model is community-based living. It's for all of us with any disability to be able to equally access and have equal opportunities in our community, no matter your disability. Because obviously independence means something different to each person, right? I have a friend who honestly, their main independence goal is honestly traveling. That's what they want to do to achieve their independence. They're okay with everything else in their lives. My goal was employment. Another person's goal may be to use the bus. Another person may be to be able to get services at their house. So that, you know, that can help them in their day-to-day activities. So it just depends on you, on your, you know, on your wants and on what you're really trying to achieve. And we do the same with employment. So Sales came out of the independent living movement in the late 1960s, early 1970s, out of the Berkeley. It was the first center ever created. Obviously, in those times, accessibility and equal access was not even a right. It was not something they could actually request. So they decided to get groups like yourselves involved and really integrated all those groups together in one same message, which was eventually the ADA. Okay? So that's how centers got created. The first one was created in 1972 in Berkeley. The one here in Jacksonville, for example, was created in 1978. And we've always done employment, but we have core services. Remember I told you we look at things from a 360 approach? So meaning that before you even get into employment, you need to be able to know what resources are around you. So we have information and referral so you can identify all the resources available to you with your disability type. Then we have advocacy, and we divide that into individual advocacy, which is teaching each person some skills and tips for them to advocate, and also to try to help people and motivate people to have self-determination. And then we do system advocacy, which is when we get groups of people and we show up at the city council meeting. So we show up at Tallahassee. So that's a different type of advocacy. And then we have nursing transition, which is getting people out of any institution and motivating them and trying to help them into living in the community for community-based living. So that's another main core service that we provide. We also provide peer mentoring, meaning since there's people with disabilities, 51% of the staff have a disability, we have programs, and one of them is employment. And I'm very proud of the work we've done. I think we still have a long way to go. Low vision and blind, as you know, most of the funding comes through the Vision of Blind Services. We are a vendor with them, but we don't get a lot of referrals. But during a period of time, I don't know if Ms. Barbara remembers, the center in Jacksonville had the Abled United grant, which allowed us to, you did not have to be with VR or DBS in order to get a job coach or get employment services. And during that time, a lot of folks with low vision and blind, they could receive a different perspective, a different job coach opportunity than DBS. And that was a great experience, but that only lasted 3 years. And I think we had about 30 people go to that program. I think, I want to say 7 are fully employed. So, you know, still not the rate we want to see. But that process was just a different opportunity for job coaching. Typically we have to go through the Division of Blind Services as blind individuals. This was a different opportunity where you could honestly use both if you wanted to. But the idea was if you did not want to be using DBS or VR, you could have used that Able United grant that we got, and then that's how people got employed. So for a long time, we did that. With my experience here, honestly, like I said, I've had to do change of culture here in the office myself. Don't you think I close my house? Don't you think I can lock up my house? Don't you think I can learn how to use a keypad? I mean, there's some things, and people just didn't think about it. It was not malice. It was not like them being difficult. It's honestly just lack of communication and honestly, unconsciously assuming things that, you know, sometimes can be easily taught. And I and the other two blind folks that work here have had to really, change that culture by presence, honestly. And that's here. Imagine where people are open and people were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, everybody's very apologetic that we, you know, had to teach them and educate them on it. But in other places, imagine like we have some Fortune 500 companies here like CSX, or like ViStar, or like FIS, you know, all those big companies. Imagine those corporations. The culture change there that we still have to do is tremendous and significant. So that's our work, and that's what we have to try to do. So any questions so far for me? I don't know how much time I have, so I also don't want to overdo my time.
Are there any questions from the audience? Well, Jose, I would like to address one. I hope I don't get ahead of you. But what I want to know is, how do you address accommodations for visually impaired persons when you're out doing your job outreach and you're doing your advocacy.
Love it. I love it. Okay, so yes, that's an amazing, that's a great question. So accommodations. So when I got here, one of the significant things, like, well, Jose, you're going to be doing a lot of outreaches. People didn't think I could go to the outreaches. They're like, how are you going to be moving around? How are you going to go from place to place? Because they didn't have a driver, so we're not like a state agency that can pay for like a driver to move you around. But people here get mileage. I'm like, honestly, just pay me for the mileage. Try to give me some incentives where I can pay for Uber or Lyft. Or now here we have Connections Plus, so it's actually become a lot easier, to be honest, Ms. Barbara. Like now the agency has a user account or a Connections Plus account. In Jacksonville, we have Connections Plus, which is run through JTA. It's like a premium service for paratransit. And it's kind of like Uber and Lyft. And anyway, the agency has an open account. They open up like one of their credit cards and they put it into the account. So that was one big accommodation lately. This has happened like in the last year that they've done for me, where now it used to be a hassle. I used to always somehow, some way end up losing money when doing outreaches because of where I had to travel. The mileage doesn't pay as much as obviously as you would spend, you know, on Uber going somewhere. But, you know, now with Connections Plus, especially in Jacksonville, that has been, they open up their account. I just say, hey, I got this trip. I put it on their little chart. I put it on my time card, and that's it. That's all I got to do, and they pay for it. So I just put it on the company credit card, which is an amazing, honestly, I'm very lucky to have that accommodation. Most people don't have that accommodation. But other accommodations that I can talk about is, I walked in, everybody here used laptops. So that was an easy ask. I was like, by the way, that's probably why they looked at me to try to do ADA stuff, is because I'm like, by the way, obviously I'm going to request this because I need Zoom text. And then, but by the way, you probably need it for your consumers too. And they were like, oh, let's get it. So some of those accommodations have been easy. Some of them have been difficult. The more difficult ones are like the ones that relate to other, like that they will have to give to all staff, right? So if I, for example, for a period of time, I was getting here like 30 minutes late because JTA, there was a period of time of like 3 months, like 4 years ago, that they were awful. It was across the board. They had a 70, I don't know, it was like 60% on-time performance, like 40% of the time you're gonna be late, no matter what. And if they accepted me being late or me shifting my schedule every day, they were afraid that they would have to do it for the rest of the staff, right? That has become obviously less of a thing now, because now a lot of the positions here, actually for accommodations, have become flexible. You do have to, you know, be in the office like twice a week, but there's a lot more flexibility in that stance now. But at the time, it was very strict, and that was a big thing that I had to say. Look, I showed proof of JTA, you know, of my comment on my comments and concerns to JTA, and of the times I got here. And anyway, they were very open, and they obviously worked with it. But that was one that was difficult because, you know, if they did that change for me, they would have to do it for anybody else who showed up late for traffic or anything else. So that was one that we had to work out, which we did, because we were able to kind of, and JTA ended up getting a little better. And I also kind of made it easy because I was like, well, now that since I closed the building, I can close the building at 5 and you guys can probably leave a little earlier. So everybody was a little easier giving me that accommodation afterwards. I'm trying to think of other accommodations, Ms. Barbara. I know for a fact, for example, when I go, I do a lot of outreaches, like I was saying, and a lot of times because my transportation, like let's say I do something not in Duval, I have to go around the state for something. I may not be, like, it might take me an extra day. Mainly, most of the stuff I can think of, Ms. Barbara, is transportation. A lot of transportation, a lot of other sites I go to, a lot of the accommodations are like pretty much very simple. It's just softwares, making sure that the computer has either JAWS or Zoom Text or, you know, the version of Apple of Access. So it's just making sure things are accessible, making sure that, another thing that I had to get people used to is giving items for myself in large print at the meetings. That was easy here, again, because it's the Cross Disability Agency, so we're supposed to do it anyway. But in a different environment, I'm sure that's a little more difficult to get your HR to always have your material in large print. It's important for me, right? So, or in Braille, or in, you know, via PDF form. So that's another thing I can think of, is making sure that all your documentation is sent in an accessible format. That's another big one that I always see, and I always have to be asking and requesting for. And something that we always have to work on is that people kind of forget, because a physical disability is very visible. And plus, you know, obviously, if somebody can get to a door, that's a problem. But when you see, when they don't see us going through online, not being able to open up a description or opening up a tab. So people don't see that. That's why we have to give the message and tell people, hey, your website's part of your building. You know, honestly, nowadays, because of how technology is, if your website is not at least somewhat accessible, it's the same as you having steps in a building and not having a ramp. It's the same thing. So that would be my answer for accommodations. Any other questions for me?
Yes.
Okay. Let me look at my slide again to see if I don't want. Thanks. I already talked about preparation. I already talked about resume. I already talked about the interview questions, correct? Let me talk about presentation. So we talk about clothes, you know, what clothes you got to wear to, and I'm sure you at the subcommittee always talk about this. You know, what to wear to an interview. So what we do with that is we bring an employer. And we do this course called Career 360, right? And on Friday, which is the last day, so when we bring some food and people are happy, everybody's supposed to dress up. Dress to success. If you don't dress like you got to, believe it or not, the way you dress kind of dictates your emotional state in the interview. I believe that. I think a lot of people also are big into how you come to an interview. So we bring an employer from the community to make it real. So at the end of that course, they actually interact with a real employer who's going to give them real feedback. It's not going to be us trying to coach. It's actually somebody from the community out there really coming to the end of the course after you have your resume, after you have all your stuff together, and kind of saying, hey, you know, what you got? And then that person has to impress from what they wear to the gotcha questions to the resume. And that's the end of the course on that sense of the Career 360 part. Then after that, it's more of accommodations. It's more going to the site, talking to the management teams where the person is going to be working, or to the staff if we have to be a mediator for accommodations. Hopefully not. Hopefully at that point, the person has enough self-determination and self-advocacy skills and self-confidence that they're going to go and have no problem requesting an accommodation. But sometimes people are still learning and people still need a backup, and that's what we're here for. We're here to be a backup for advocacy. So we're here to, honestly, if something is going on, or sometimes, you know, let's face it, sometimes managers are assholes. So sometimes you do need like some support and saying, hey, this is actually the ADA policy on this. You are employing people from the public and you need to follow them. And that's when we would step in and try to be a mediator and try to figure out a situation, you know, figure something out. Hopefully we'll never go to the, you know, resources that we have to use if there's actually discrimination going on. But hopefully it'll never come to that. Hopefully it's something that we can resolve with human relations and a lot of ADA work. So, but we have in Jacksonville, we have a bunch of Amazon facilities, and it's so like one facility is amazing. And there, when there's a problem, we can go in there, we can talk to the managing staff and we can fix the problem. And then sometimes they're awful and the management is just not willing to work with you. And that's, so that's one that we're always working on. It's so hard because sometimes some managers do great work and you want to recognize that, you want to, you know, build that core relationship with them and get more people hired there. But then you go to the bad experiences and it's so awful that you can't really promote that. So that's one great example of, like, for example, Amazon volunteers, they have like this group of disabilities within Amazon at one facility. They came to our office and they helped us for like two events, and then they got us as a volunteer company. Like, they got us as a donation company. So they're wanting to donate stuff to us that, you know, they don't sell anymore and stuff like that. And we want to help, and we want to like work with them, but then sometimes we get in such of a pickle with them with accommodations that we're like, how do we approach this? It's like a good and bad all at once. So that's one big company that we're working with that sometimes we like kind of have to scratch our heads half the time. People go and feel really comfortable at the interviews because there's already other people with disabilities that work there. That's a company that always helps us. Another one is Advanced Auto Parts. For some reason, honestly, I don't know what it is, that all of the people we sent there, they are great with them. They're the ones asking the person, what accommodations do you need beforehand? They've been great. So it just depends on, you know, also the people. You know, at the end, it's human relations, human resources. So it's really the people that work there too that make a difference. And they have a great program. And then the smaller mom and pops are also good to work with for accommodations, but for them, you have to do a lot of more education because they don't know anything about the ADA. Human resource offices at big companies and good big corporations, they know the ADA. They know they got to follow. They know what they can get in trouble for. And the hard part with them is getting them to talk to you because they're scared. With mom and pops, they don't know about the ADA. They don't know anything. They don't know what they're supposed to do or they're not. So with them, it's like teaching a baby. It's like a blank slate. And you got to tell them about all the benefits of hiring somebody with a disability. So just different approaches with each entity that you got to do. So that's with the accommodations part of the hiring stage. Then lastly, what we try to do again is honestly promote success. So our connections, what we target, what we try to work for, is trying to get people to be fully employed, forever. So when we go talk to a company and we go build a relationship, most of the time, unless we have a bunch of people that just want to do some part times because they don't take it to work and they don't want to hurt their benefits. But most of the time, we prefer to make the life change and try to get full employment, like for permanent positions. So that's another service we have. And then, like, again, we're there to be the support system. So let's say somebody needs medical equipment. We want to be there to provide that if something happens. We have technology. So the FAST program, which is Florida Accessible Assistive Technology, is now here at Center for Independence in Jacksonville. And that is there so you can try any technology, right? So let's say you wanted to try like some type of ACA or some new visual tech or the eyeglasses thing or anything like that. They can get it for a month and you can try it for free before you go through the process through the Division of Blind Services or to any other way to try to get that. So FAST is really good for that, to try new technology, new adaptive equipment that you can try with them before purchasing it or before going through the motions, all the things you know you have to do in order to get those things, you can try for free. So that's an easy way of trying things out without getting vendors to your house. I like it because it's a little more freedom for me. Like, I can just ask it without having to get other people involved. I just call FAST, say, look, this is what I want to try to get. Do you have it? They typically say, no, we don't have it in stock. I'm like, can you get it? They're like, yeah, we'll try to get it. And typically they do get it. And then typically I can try it out for a month and then I give it back to them. So that's another option. Hello?
Can you hear me, Jose?
Yes, I hear you perfectly.
Okay. Well, so see, we've enjoyed this presentation, and it's wonderful to know that all these things are available and that you're actually ADA manager, you're on top of things, and you're doing what we need done throughout the state. And so I think we did have another question from the room. Is that question still here? Okay, so Is there anyone on Zoom that wants to ask a question?
I will want to say, Ms. Barbara, please count on me, whatever efforts this subcommittee is doing, whatever you guys have in mind, if I can support in any way, please use me. That's what I'm here for. And I would love to work in any way with you guys. So whatever initiatives you guys have, or anything I can connect sales to you, I can definitely do that. I'm not a director of the sale, but I know most of the directors throughout the state. And if not, I can get Tyler to make a call. So who's the director here in Jacksonville? So I can really connect those dots.
I personally want to thank you because I know that you do a lot. And I also was reading your bio, and you're in, four states or five states that you're also affiliated with that have given you this award?
Yes, this was through NICO, right before the pandemic. I was awarded as the national advocate for this zone, which is pretty much Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, and Mississippi, I think. So the it's an award they give to each zone as advocate, and I got it in that year. So very proud of that. Hopefully I can live up to it.
For your short work future, you've really exceeded. You know, you've been promoted, and you're out there receiving awards statewide and other awards from representatives and senators and whatnot. So what I wanted to say that... we're going to keep you in mind because we know that you're there and you not only service the Jacksonville area, but you service statewide. So that's a good thing to know.
Well, like I said, thank you for the opportunity. Ms. Barbara and everybody here in the FCV, for sure. Count on me. It is my mission to work around the state because of that award. So I can, like I said, I'm here to do and facilitate whatever I can.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If there are no other questions or concerns, we'll conclude the meeting now.